Thank you. Good evening. Next Tuesday's budget day, so tonight we're going to talk about money, otherwise known as lolly, moolah, dough and Lou Grade's wallpaper. No, he's reported to be having money trouble with his bank. They won't take any more. The pound note still buys more in Britain, whatever you say, than it does in any other country, particularly after this week when it reached its highest point for more than a year. That means it's now out of everybody's reach. For the last year, it's been saying on pound notes, I don't know whether you noticed, I promise to owe the bearer the sum of £1. Now, being a Labour government, the government set out to get rid of the working classes as such and created the unemployed classes. But they have said that they will act if unemployment reaches a certain level, government level. As Mr. McCorber said, annual income, £20, annual expenditure, £19, 19 and sixpence, result, sixpence. Though at the other extreme, there's also a story in the papers today about a highly ambitious man who was arrested simply because he was making big money. He was making it just an eighth of an inch too big. You have to be very careful, though, about the question of counterfeit money.
Yeah, it's a forgery.
How do you know?
Well, if you look very closely, you'll see that the base of the letter T is just cut by the cross-hatching there, you see, whereas the O isn't. Do you see? Mm. Now, we have the L-A-N over here. Now, that's slightly too close together. Now, it's only about half a millimetre, but to an expert, you know, all this adds up and shows the upsetting of the composition. Do you understand? Mm. Now, we have the D there. Now, the text of the D is rather wrong compared with the depth of ink on the Queen's face. You see? I mean, only just. I mean, it's a very good job, but to an expert, all these minute points add up. Do you understand? Mm. Besides, down here it says Bank of Toyland.
Not that the British have changed very much in their attitude to money. We asked 1,000 people in London if they thought the English were getting too materialistic, and 95% said, "How much do I get for answering?" Though we did discover one wonderful new way to save money: forget who you borrowed it from. There's such confusion in people's attitudes to the money. Not that the British are completely hopeless at acquiring it, far from it. On a lot of occasions, they positively expect money.
How much is that, driver?
17 and 6 cents, 17 and 6.
10 and 7 and 6. And here's a tip for you. Whenever you're planting out your marigold seedlings, don't forget to put a pinch of salt in.
With the new decimal system, of course, the pound will then be worth 10 shillings. An increase of 3 and 6 pence. Though that doesn't worry you, of course, if you're rich. Thanks to money, Mr. Brian Epstein owns 4 cars, one for each direction, 2 television sets, one for each eye, 2 footmen, one for each foot, and a limousine with a built-in sports car. One man in New York has so much money he hires Edward Albee to go round and insult his wife. What? One wealthy Staffordshire potter is much more generous still. Every time he has a meal, he leaves a plate under the tip. For Midland viewers, though, whether you're rich or poor, the important thing is to take precautions.
Oh, yes, sir, you could insure your shop against just about anything. Fire?
Good idea.
Theft?
Yes.
Floods?
How do you start a flood?
Insurance companies recently are not all that reassuring, but you would think that your money was safe in a bank. But even there, these days, there are dangers.
All right, you hand over the money.
I'm afraid I'm new to this branch, so could I see some sort of identification, something with your name on? Thank you, Mr. Luger. How much would you like?
Of course, the good businessman is always determined to make sure he gets value for his money.
Yes.
Hello,
anything for money. Anything.
Right, lads. Now then, 3 paces to the north. 1, 2, 3. 2 paces to the east. 1, 2, 3 paces to the north. 1, 2, 3. And 2 paces to the west. 1, 2. Right, lads, I've got it. Now let's try it with the music.
Not that material possessions are really enough. One man in Maidenhead went to his psychiatrist and said, I've a house in the country, a flat in town, 3 cars, my son's got a public school, I've a yacht, and all my suits cost 150 guineas a time, and yet I'm worried. The psychiatrist said, why? And the man said, I earn £8 a week. As someone once said, one of the strangest things about life is that the poor who need money the most are the very ones who never have it. Too much work left over at the end of their money. And when you go to your bank manager, you know, however hard you try, that he's going to put the worst possible construction on anything you say.
Good morning. I have an appointment with the bank manager.
About your overdraft?
Oh, he told you, did he? Yes.
Yes. He's expecting you. Through there.
Thank you very much.
Come in. Mr. Jones. You've come about your overdraft?
Yes, yes.
How are things with you?
Oh, could be worse, you know. Things do get a little rough at this time of the year.
I see. Now then, just to get things right, what do you do, Mr. Jones?
I'm in the advertising business.
And how much do you
pay? Just over £4,000.
4,000?
Yes, well, I do have a small private income. Oh, it's all quite about board.
I never said it wasn't, Mr. Jones. Sit down, will you?
Thank you.
Now then, are you married at all?
Well, no, not exactly. I mean, not yet.
Well, I'm sure that you'll understand, Mr. Jones. The freeze on, I'm afraid it's quite impossible for us to increase your overdraft. But please feel free to come to see me any time you have any other problems.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much indeed.
The best way we discovered of getting a few extra pounds out of the bank undoubtedly is when the cashier isn't watching. Carefully slide your hand under the grill and put a small amount of glue on his little sponge. You'd be surprised at the beneficial results. The other way, of course, is to try and delay spending money by credit cards. The really smart thing to do is to join American Express and then try and pay for it through diners. Then there's the remarkable story of Alexis Krokopoulos, an ambitious Greek who arrived in England with only one suit of old clothes. And just look at him today, one of the biggest old clothes men in the business. Or as someone said, if you want to know what God thinks of money, just look at some of the people he gave it to. Of course, money more than anything else is the perfect subject for lies and evasions. People never say what they mean on the subject of money.
Although I'm a millionaire, I shall never forget the first £100 that I made.
I got 6 months in Wormwood Scrubs making it.
I am prepared to face any Board of Trade inquiry.
When does the next plane leave for South America?
I will return to answer any questions anyone may care to put to me.
They don't have an extradition treaty with Tierra del Fuego.
I am prepared to use my personal fortune to repay investors.
The Rolls, the villa, and the yacht are all in my wife's name.
Made in Britain.
Collapsible.
An inquiry was announced yesterday into Bristol Sidley's £4 million excess profits.
Tory freedom really works.
We are going to have to tighten our belts.
You are going to have to tighten your belts.
We are not out of the wood yet.
It's still quite a long time before the next general election. But on any subject, people have pet peeves, mad rules or other little things or pieces of behaviour that they've observed that mildly infuriate them and qualify as peeves. And it's very true of money. In future weeks, we'd like to know your peeves on the subject we're due to be covering. Next week, women. The week after, the armed forces. But this week we checked around the studio here about money peeves. One person can't stand things in shops with threepence off printed on them, or saucers in cloakrooms with only 2 shilling bits in them, or men with purses. Someone else's peeve was people who say, watch the pennies and the pounds will take care of themselves, because they never, never do. Or those sixpenny airmail letters that it's impossible to open without totally destroying the contents. Much worse peeve, really, are those shops which make you write your address on the back of a cheque, on the strange theory that you might forge a name, but never an address. You might put the Duke of Norfolk on the front, but you'd always put 3 railway cuttings on the back. Or letters from Inland Revenue which end, your obedient servant. And that space on every income tax form which says, do not write in this space. We suggest dropping a small blob of candle grease on it, on the very sound principle that if you can't write in that space... We'd like your peeves anyway on women. Of course, Chancellor of the Exchequer's speeches would be on everyone's list. They're always the same, whoever it is.
Good evening. I'm here tonight to talk to you on a purely non-political, non-partisan, Labour Party basis. I am the Chancellor of the Exchequer, so there. Now, a lot of people have been saying recently that our economy is in really bad shape. Really? Yes. Bad. Yes. Shape, perhaps. But really bad shape? Now then, let's get down to brass tacks. The brass tacks, which I shall be imposing, is an expedient necessity. It is essential at this time, when our beloved country has its back to the wall, that we realize how heartening that can be. Only with one's back to the wall can one go forward. To the next war. People often come up to me in the street, which is in itself encouraging. They say, look here, smarty pants. And let us not forget, look here, smarty pants is what democracy is all about. Look here, Flash Harry, they say. What about the pound? A fair question. A good question. And one that I intend to dispense with altogether tonight. I put the issues squarely before you. One, the pound is stable. The horse may have gone, but the pound is stable. Two, I wouldn't be doing this job if I weren't a trained economist and mathematician. Five, is one of non-alignment. I will not see Britain's money spent on your behalf. Six, the Prime Minister is behind me. Always. Seven, the trade index for the last fiscal year shows a trend that can only be described. And eight, figures prove nothing. That is why I say to you that this is the time for you and I and him to tighten our belts, pull off our socks, square our shoulders, and try and relax. Every one of you can make some contribution. I shall be giving you the address later. Now, may I conclude by saying, I laugh at those who say this country is struggling. Ha ha ha! We can turn the corner, if only we can find it. We will confound the Jonas, the backsliders, the dismal Jimmies, and the rest of our great people, and prove to the world that there are bigger, better, greater crises ahead. Good night.
Mr. Ronnie Barker, who has an amazing head for money. There's this long slit on the top. But what do you do with your money? The annual income of the Inland Revenue is 4,687 million pounds a year before tax. The creed of the Inland Revenue is simply, if we can bring just one little smile to one little face today, then somebody's slipped up somewhere. Some people, of course, say that love is a money-spending thing, but Miss Julie Felix does not agree.
I'm not gonna marry in the fall, not gonna marry in the spring, 'cause he's in love with a pretty girl, she wears a diamond ring. And I'm just a country girl, money have I none, but I've got the silver in the stars and gold in the morning sun. And gold in the morning sun. I'll never kiss the sunburnt lips of the handsomest boy in town, and if he ever asked me out, I'd have to turn him down. 'Cause I'm just a country girl, money have I none, but I've got the silver in the stars, gold in the morning sun. I've got gold in the morning. The stars, gold in the morning sun. I've got gold in the morning sun.
One middle-aged husband was not quite as idealistic as that. He said, I married my wife for her money, and my God, I've earned every penny of it. At the end, of course, there is the will to make out, though one is unlikely to rival the man in Worcester who wrote in his will, and to my brother Alfred, whom I promised to remember in my will, Hi Alfie. Perhaps even that was bested by the man from Ipswich who said in the will read out to the entire family, and so, being of sound mind, I spent every penny I had. But why is there all this confusion, people going wrong about money? There's one main reason, really. They think of money as one thing, and it isn't. There's three sorts of money. There's pocket money and checkbook money and public money. And they're quite different. Pocket money and checkbook money, private money, hurt to spend. But public money, to the civil servants in Whitehall who spend it, it's just monopoly money. There's no such thing as debt. The worst penalty, and if a few million pounds go astray, is that your recommendation for a CBE is changed to an OBE. At least, though, the civil service is aware of the dangers of Parkinson's law. In one department today, two men were working away and 17 were reading Parkinson's law. The real trouble comes when you mix up the different kinds of money. You'll get the butcher behaving as if he were administering the Concord Project and ringing up to say, I'm afraid the Christmas turkey you ordered won't cost £4.10 as I promised. It'll be £38.07. And you can't have it until July the 10th. Though, of course, an increasing number of people seem to entrust all their private money to someone else, to a chartered accountant.
Ah, Mr. Grimwade, my name is Brightwell. How do you do?
Is it all right for me to answer?
Yes.
How do you do?
This, I assume, is your accountant.
Yes, Nodron.
How do you do? Sit down, please. Now, I have your tax return here, and there are one or two items that I would like to query.
He filled it in.
Quiet, keep calm.
And now, Mr. Grimwade, you are married?
Yes.
When my client says, no, he's not married, by that, of course, he means yes, he is, don't you?
Yes.
Of course. Children?
Three.
Names?
What?
Your children's names.
George, Bernard, and Shaw.
Shaw.
Positive.
Bernard, Shaw, and who?
George.
Yes, George.
Any other dependents?
No.
Except his parents.
Oh, but they're both, alive.
I see. Income?
Five.
Five what?
500. 500,000.
500,000?
5,000. £5,000.
£5,000. Now, these expenses.
It's going to be all right.
I see you claim the whole of the rent for your home as office rent.
Yes.
Don't you live at home at all?
No. My client lives in a tent at the bottom of his office garden.
With his wife.
I'm not married to a girl who likes living in houses.
I see. I think I'm beginning to understand. Now, entertainment expenses, £2,400. Mr. Grimwade, you are aware that you can claim only for entertaining foreign businessmen.
Yes, they were foreign. Welsh.
Welsh are not foreign.
No. I was about to say, Chinese.
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 You may think it rather strange that my client entertains Chinese businessmen when he, in fact, manufactures cricket bats.
But you see...
But this, after all, was merely an attempt to take in what could be a very, very large market indeed.
Of course. Hence the travel £2,600.
Yes.
Mr. Grimwade, travel where?
China.
And where in China?
Pekin.
What?
Quiet, please. I want Mr. Grimwade to answer this one on his own. Mr. Grimwade, without any help, please. Where in China?
Yep. Barking.
Barking's in Essex.
Mm. No, from Barking.
From Barking.
From Barking. To the Isle of Dogs. Isle of China Dogs. Look now. Lucknow.
Lucknow is in India.
Yes, we always stop there on our way to Katri.
Italy.
Peak. Mount Everest. Peak knees. Pekin.
You didn't say you were married, did you?
Yo.
What are your children? what are your children's names?
Robert, Louis, and Stevenson.
What happened to George Bernard and Shaw?
He died.
I give up! It's all terrible lies! China cricket bats! Oh, what a fool I am! I've been a fool! A terrible... It's his fault. He's the chancellor of the country, you see. He came into my house and taught me to come here and tell all these lies! I've been unemployed all year! No money! Unemployed!
Cigarette.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Look, if he's been unemployed all year, he doesn't have to pay any tax anyway, so I force him to come round here and tell me these ridiculous lies about cricket bats and tents and China.
It's my job.
And that's money, really. Next Tuesday, the Chancellor, a man I'm sure you will agree of rare gifts, presents his budget. And we heard today that because the national defence budget is running at £2,000 million a year, and there are still problems, the Chancellor is going to give everyone in the country £30 each and tell them to defend themselves. Good night.
And watch next Friday when Frost gets a grip on the stiff upper lip with a very funny report on class distinction. Next night, Lifeline using hypnosis to probe the depths of the unconscious mind.